And welcome into the Bruins Beat, presented by Prize Picks. Go use our promo code CLNS to get up to $100 back on your first deposit. Again, up to $100. They give you up to $100. Go make hockey more fun. Make everything more fun. Go support our friends over at Prize Picks. I'm Evan Marinofsky. That's Connor Ryan. Connor, what is up?
Evan, I'm doing well. How you doing?
Doing great. Doing great. Have you recovered from BU's Hockey East championship? You and I, we're one in this. We both got steamrolled by BC over the weekends. I think, you know, sucks, but at least we can be together on this.
You know, Evan, got to give credit where it's due. BC caught BU at a bad time. They were kind of sleepwalking a little bit. Can't take those penalties against a team with admittedly a lot of talent. I'll say the Eagles have that. But it's just going to make it so much better when BU obliterates BC in the national championship game. Just think of those sweet tears, that the flood of tears that'll be coming all the way from Newton. Maybe in due time it would make its way into the city limits, but we'll wait. We'll wait a few weeks to see if that actually happens. But just imagine how beautiful that would be.
I agree, it would be beautiful. There's no way you can watch that national championship game though.
I would have to be in bed. I'll watch that, and then like we'll record the next day, and I'll look like a friggin' it should be in House of the Dragon. My hair will be like white. That's what I'm going to look like.
I can't even imagine the stress of that. I can't. I just BCBU in the championship. I mean, that's bragging rights for like forever. I mean, that would never go away.
Yes.
Get a
little
sweaty thinking
about it, Evan.
I know you're getting a little antsy thinking about it. I will say though, there's a chance it could happen. There's not just a chance, like it's likely that could end
right
up.
Which means it's going to be like hell. I don't even know who else is in the bracket. It's gonna be like St. Cloud State against like I can't even guess.
They're
like,
not in it. They're usually
not in it. Yeah, no. it's gonna be
like
some
Omaha
random team,
Cornell
yeah.
or something.
Is some oh god, like you know at that point if BU's out, I don't. It's like for like my March Madness bracket, I had Auburn winning the entire thing, lost in the first round, wasn't great. Evan, now I'm just rooting for chaos. My bracket's already destroyed, so I want it to be silly season right now. So
I agree with you. My brackets are destroyed. My brackets usually are pretty good after the first day or two. This year, not even remotely close. They're terrible. So I'm all for the most chaos possible in the basketball. I hope I hope the lowest seed wins. In hockey, I want an entertaining product. Remember that game a couple of years ago? It was North Dakota and Duluth that went like five overtimes.
Yes.
I want that stuff. Give me most chaos possible.
If BU and BC go to five overtimes in a national championship game, I will be deceased. So you will not see. You will not hit me. Also, respectfully, both those teams are so good. It ain't going to 5-OT. Like, there's too much talent that someone's going to do a dangle fest at some point. There's going to be an odd man rush ending up going, you know, bad down or something like that. But we'll see. We'll see, Evan.
Yeah. I mean, hey, my national championship game was like a blowout. So it was never stressful at all. I mean, it was stressful in the lead up to it. I think UMass won an OT against Duluth the game before St. Cloud State. So they just took down the whole state of Minnesota, which was fun. I think everybody can get behind that. Yes. But we'll see. I'm excited. The play starts later this week. Be fun. BU got sent out to South Dakota. But we'll talk about it a little bit on this podcast. I know people get angry when we don't just talk Bruins, but college hockey is in its prime right now. I mean, how can you not? You know, it deserves to be talked about.
Two powerhouses. We got Western Mass represented. You know, we had Maine. Maine's had a great year as well. I sat with a section. Me and my buddies went to the game on Friday just as fans, and we were surrounded by Maine fans, which is,
yes,
you would think it's a little intimidating. And listen, they are very passionate, but great group of people. Just love hockey, love that their program's back. A little chirping early on, but then afterwards, a lot of handshakes, all that stuff. So good to see Maine back. Their fans are a lot of fun to watch hockey with.
Their fans are elite, their colors are elite, and it's an elite program. I hope that Maine is good for the rest of eternity. That's a place like feels good when Maine is good again. So it's nice to see that. Question, Connor. Are the Bruins ready for playoff hockey? Because Jim Montgomery on Monday bag skated the heck. I should say the hell, because he was letting curse words fly. I mean, does he know the kids sometimes see this stuff? I mean, does Jim Montgomery have respect for kids?
I mean, listen, Evan, you can, I believe, say the F word once on a PG-13 rated movie. So it was a strictly PG-13 rated practice. So we don't
have to
get.
You get one F word for a PG-13 movie?
You can sneak it in. You don't see it all the time, but I believe you can drop one F word into a PG-13 movie and get away with it. Two, if you're like The Wolf of Wall Street, which the only the bad thing about that movie is just the language. There's nothing else in that movie that would warrant an R rating. Nothing. But I believe you do two F-bombs, gotta do R rating. You could be watching the Smurfs. If Papa Smurf drops two F-bombs, like, it goes from G to R right there.
Rated R. That's great. But so anyway, Bag skates the Bruins, mentioned after practice. He was really upset with how they ended the game against Philadelphia on Saturday. One thing I thought was interesting, he mentioned how Saturday's game felt like playoff hockey. And I agree, there was a lot of checking, but it was not I hope that's not like the playoffs, because that was a snoozer for two periods. So I'm hoping that that's not his vision of the playoffs, because if it is, we will not be up very late every night watching these games. But I think that's the most animated I've seen Montgomery talking about his own group, right?
Yeah, I think especially airing it out to the media. And, that's something we saw quite from Bruce Cassidy. When I say that, I don't think it was like Bruce Cassidy was just routinely ripping the players. We know what the narrative is about how he was, you know, maybe viewed by the players or what have you. But I think just, you know, Bruce was very candid and open about just how his thought process of the players, when there needs to be a better play there, when there needs to be a more timely save, what have you. Like, I don't think it was
any thought that entered his head was out.
Yes, exactly. And again, some of that is part of, you know, choosing when to, you know, put a player on, you know, the spotlight of the media, what have you. Like, that goes into it as well. But you don't see that nearly as much from Jim Montgomery in terms of, you know, listen, if they get blown out 5-0 or something like that, or they lose some of these games, of course he's going to be frustrated and annoyed. But to, you know, outright declare, as you said, your opening question, like, are the Bruins ready for the playoffs? He said no. Like, he
just no.
Doesn't think they're playing, you know, at that level at all. And I think you've seen it. We can look at, like, this kind of sustained slide they've had maybe since the All-Star break, even though I think it was Ken Paul DuPont of the Boston Globe mentioned that. I think they're 25, 15, and something. Like, I think they're, like, 500 in terms of wins and losses overall since Black Friday. That's, like, 52 games.
Yeah.
So, like, again, they've really been treading water for a while now. And, again, you can look at some of these third period, you know, letting go of these leads, what have you, and they're really frustrating. You look at these overtime, which, again, it's 3-on-3, so you don't have to deal with that in the playoffs. But I think you look at these last couple of games, and this is a time of the year where, yes, it's the dog days of the season, but this is where you should be elevating your game or getting ready for what to expect in the playoffs. And when you look at, like, that Rangers game where the Bruins had four high-danger scoring chances at 5-on-5 ice, playing a big-bodied, physical Rangers team where there's not going to be a lot of grade-A ice. Like, that's going to be part of what playoff hockey is. Had no interest in kind of attacking that inside ice, being aggressive, going north to south. And then you go into that game on Saturday against the Flyers, a desperate team that's trying to solidify their playoff positioning. And Montgomery mentioned they had a lot of really bad changes. You had, you know, some saves from Allmark you had to have there. Just all, like, the little details. And I think that's something for the Bruins this year, just that inconsistency where there's been times where they've been playing like world beaters. There's been games or even like stretches of a period where this team looks like a team that can grind and grit its way to a couple of playoff series wins. And there's times where they're just making things so much easier for the competition, so much harder on themselves. And when you get to the playoffs where it's so much tougher to get quality scoring chances, to get inside ice, to hold off guys like Austin Matthews and Matthew Tkachuk, and, you know, encountering, you know, these stronger forechecking teams, like, it's only going to get harder from here. And so far, the Bruins haven't shown consistency in terms of playing at a high level. And that's what's going to kill them in the playoffs if they don't, you know, correct their overall game week these next couple of weeks.
And he mentioned the habits, those being bad. And you mentioned them, you know, just the blowing the late game leads, things like that. One interesting thing I found in what he was saying was how some guys just didn't, in his eyes, seem like they wanted to go for loose pucks or win puck battles or be the first in the corner. And I mean, that first of all, that's, you know, credit to him for being honest about that and being open. But the biggest thing is that is concerning. I mean, that is concerning. And that is a sign that a team is not ready for playoff hockey when guys are not going full throttle into the corner. I haven't reviewed the game film to pick out each and every one. I was almost half asleep through the first two periods. So they might, that's maybe that's why they had a boring game, was they didn't want people seeing themselves or seeing them not going in corners. But I do think that it's concerning. It's concerning as hell. I want to get into whether or not this was too late for Montgomery, because it is. I mean, we're less than a week. We're less than a month away from the playoffs.
I wish. I wish we were a week away from the playoffs.
Awesome. Please. But we are not. But I want to get into that. But first, a quick word from our friends over at Prize Picks. Testing my skills on Prize Picks this season is the most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. If you have the skills, you can turn $10 into $1,000 with just a few taps. Prize Picks is really simple to play. I can make my picks and submit my entry in less than 60 seconds. Quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, and an enormous selection of players and stat types are what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. It's skill-based, so if you watch a lot of hockey like I do, pick more or less the number of shots on goal a top player like Connor Bedard or Sidney Crosby might have in a game. So download the app today and use code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Now, back to the show. So as I mentioned, about a month away from the postseason, they have this bag skate. He rips into them. He's mad at their how they're practicing. He's mad how they're playing. He mentioned in the presser about how this has been going on for a long time. You know, this is not something that's been, you know, brewing for a week or two. This has been going on for a long time. And you mentioned KPD's stat that he wrote about. And, you know, I like that Montgomery is coming with this message. And I think that it's correct. But is it too late? Because it is getting late in the season. Or is this the kick in the ass they need kind of at the right time?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you look at previous years, maybe it's too late in the schedule, but the Bruins still have 10, you know, regular season games left, and they're kind of fortunate where maybe they don't view it as fortunate, but you've got a lot of really tough tests up ahead, right? I mean, you're playing, obviously, we got Florida and Tampa Bay right now. You play Carolina twice. You play Florida again. Like, these aren't, you know, you've got, like, Washington, who's in the mix as well. You play them twice. So you're going to get a lot of tough tests ahead with teams that, you know, you look at Florida and Carolina, I think those are probably the two strongest teams in the East. Both play a really physical system where it's a lot of, you know, strong forechecking, a lot of, you know, crowding the net front, generating offense from the blue line. Like, they're going to throw a lot at the Bruins. That gives them, I think, a preview of, again, no team is built the same in the playoffs, but if you're looking for probably a winning formula in the playoffs, the way that Florida and Carolina, when they're playing at their best, what they, you know, bring out on the ice should be a good preview for the Bruins. And listen, I think it gives us a better barometer of where exactly this team is. So far, you know, they've not lived up to it in terms of this little gauntlet here, right? Where you've got the Rangers, where you really don't show initiative into driving into inside ice. Philly's a game you should have won. You take your foot off the gas there in the third period and can't, you know, come away with the win. So if, like, they go through the stretch here and they play, you know, two physical teams in Florida and Tampa Bay and don't push back or, and that's not to say that we need these two games to be nice 5-1 wins. The Bruins will take it. Hell, like, it'll be great if Swayman responds and they, you know, get into a few brouhahas with Matthew Tkachuk and fight back, which is kind of what they did when they played Florida earlier on this year. It felt like a long time ago, but that was, I think, one of their big statement wins when they really shut down Florida down in Sunrise. But for them, it's all about, I think, building your game. And I think even Frederick mentioned this earlier this week, like, that Rangers game, even if they showed more of a pushback, right, where, you know, they got more inside ice, they built off the momentum you got after Brazo scored that goal at the net front, and they just kind of let that game slip away. So it's all about, I think, the process for them and building towards these games. So, yes, you know, we're late in the season. There's only so many weeks to go. But when you look at what's ahead of them in terms of these matchups, you've got 5 or 6 or 7 measuring tape games between now and the start of the playoffs that should at least give you a little bit more of an idea of where this team is going into the playoffs.
And you look at that schedule and you know, remember last year in the playoffs playing against the Panthers, one of the big things was that was a team that had been playing playoff hockey for a month. They had been battling to get in, and any wild card team or lower seeded team you play has been basically playing playoff hockey for a month up until the postseason begins. I think there's a little bit of that seeping into this, of him saying, you know what? I want these guys to have a runway for the postseason. You have some hard tests in front. I don't want them to look at these as just the end of the regular season. Look at this as kind of the preliminary rounds of the playoffs. And I think getting them to play the right way, they're obviously not playing the right way. They haven't been playing the right way for quite a while. But you know, the message right now, I don't think it is too late. I think it comes at the right time. And I think it kind of gets them, for their sake, hopefully playing playoff hockey now rather than just ramping up for game one and expecting those lead, you know, blowing leads to go away and things like that. And the goal, I mean, again, the goaltending needs to get better. Because I want to get into what we're looking for out of this Florida trip and out of this road trip in a second. But I don't think it's too late. I don't. I think it comes at a pretty good time. Not too early, not too late. It's not like he said this, you know, two games before the season ended. It's like when you were like in high school and, or in a class and like the night before you're studying for the test and you're like, oh, shit, I don't understand any of this. Yeah. So I think it's coming a little bit earlier, which is good. And it's nice. It's nice to see it. Sometimes they need a kick in the ass. And I think, you know, Montgomery, you know, came in as the positive guy. And I think that's good. But sometimes you need to be bag skated. You need to be called out. And I think right now is sort of one of those times. Before we get into what we're looking for out of the road trip, quick word from our friends over at Factor Meals. So this is being recorded prior to the game against the Panthers. I am sorry. We couldn't record Monday.
Damn it, Evan.
I'll take this one. I'll take the blame on this. Punch right in the chin. I'll take it. But there's a lot of big road games coming up. Not just looking for them to get a win against the Panthers and for things to look good against them. You got the Lightning, you got Carolina, Washington, you got Nashville. You got all these teams that are pretty good, more than pretty good, coming up. And we've talked a lot about the goaltending in recent weeks because, you know, they're kind of going different ways. And, you know, Omar on Saturday, you know, he'd been really hot. He had some really big saves, but he also probably could have had one or two of those down the stretch. Goaltending to me, I think, is the biggest thing you're looking for out of this stretch. Can they both get right? Do you keep going with the off and on Swayman Olmark? And can Jeremy Swayman get right? I think that's probably the biggest thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you look at Jeremy Swayman, whose game has really dropped pretty much since the trade deadline. I mean, he's given up 12 goals in his last 9 periods of hockey. Now you got a game against Florida on the road where you've got a whole bunch of guys.
Have fun.
That hang around the net front and make life miserable. You've got guys who are great at hovering around grade A ice. You've got a really active blue line that can fire in pucks, generate rebounds, tips, all that stuff there. Exactly the type of team that you don't probably want to face if you're in the middle of a rut here. And even like we mentioned this in the playoffs last season with Omar, where even when he was playing well, like, playing against a team like Florida has to be exhausting. So if you look at so much lateral movement, there's so much tracking, rebound. Like it just seems like it's such not a chore. It's just like an arduous task to kind of keep in front of a team that can kind of attack you in so many different ways. So getting Swayman back up and getting him on a roll here, like I think we were on a podcast with Ty Anderson, and he was like, Jeremy Swayman desperately needs like a nice 30 save on 31 shots kind of night. Is I don't know if Florida is the best team to provide that opportunity, but he definitely needs to get right. And then for Olmark, the same thing. Like Tampa Bay is absolutely no slouch either, especially with the talent they have up top. That he's been really strong since the deadline. Had a few goals he'd like to have back in that Philly game. So it's all about again, you know, stemming the tide and stopping any kind of potential slide in terms of his overall game and getting him back to a high level. Because if you're the Bruins, you could maybe stay afloat with one of those guys really locked in. If both aren't finding the game, we're not going to be talking that much into late April, I don't think, Evan.
No, we won't be, which is going to be unfortunate. And it's interesting. We've talked a lot about in this episode, getting ready for the playoffs and guys getting right. And obviously, you know, what's your bottom six going to look like? Can Heinen stick with Pastrnak and Zacha? Can your defense get right? All that stuff. You and I rarely talk big picture because we talk so much that we kind of just focus on what's happening now and this and that. Has your view on them changed at all going into the playoffs?
I mean, I still think my overall assumption or my overall outlook is going to depend on who they draw in the first round, right? Like, I still think they end up, I think the season ended today, right? They'd still be second place. I think Florida has the tiebreakers right now. Bruins, Toronto. I mean, listen, Toronto's a very good team. I still like the Bruins, how they match up there. They draw a team in the second wildcard spot that's like the Capitals or someone like that, or a team that's dropping quite a bit. You can absolutely make the argument that the Bruins should still be favored there in terms of when they're playing to their strengths. They can kind of counter what some of these, especially high-octane offensive teams, can generate, especially when they're not mucking it up at the net front, like how Florida kind of gets a lot of their offense, or from the blue line, like Carolina does. If they're, you know, teams that are on the rush or teams that generate a lot from, you know, outside the slot or stuff like that, the Bruins do pretty well. So I think it's still going to depend on who they draw in the first round, but it's all kind of come down to, I think, regardless of matchup, is how they control the critical areas of the ice. Like, what I'm looking for beyond the goaltending is the net front at both sides of the ice, right? I want to see how the Bruins can attack inside ice, generate quality chances, don't be so stuck to the perimeter when they're not really a shot-ready team at the blue line anyway. You're seeing way too much deferring, passing, not, you know, taking the shot to take these grade-A chances, not getting into inside ice. Like, the only guy that's really been doing it at a consistent rate is Justin Brezzo, who has, what, 3 goals and 4 points in his last 3 games? Like,
and they're all from the net front.
Yeah, exactly. It's not, we're not reinventing the wheel here. So I think looking offensively, how much the Bruins are committed to fighting inside, fighting through, you know, some physical defensemen, what have you, to generate that. And then on the other end of the ice too, how well they defend the net front against guys like Matthew Tkachuk and what have you, because that's also going to be easier said than done, I would say.
It's, you make an interesting point with the net front at both ends of the ice. I, you know, my outlook on them, I think when things were really hot mid-season and kind of after the Christmas break, I said, okay, I didn't believe them as cup contenders. Now I do. They're, you know, top of the league. We should have those expectations for them. I don't think it's changed in recent weeks because I've kind of been slowly going towards this, but to me, I see them out in the second round. That's where I see them right now. You know, again, I think they should definitely win a round. I don't, even if they, you know, if they face Washington in the first round, even though Washington's hot and finds ways to win games, Montgomery even called out, they're like minus 30 in goal differential.
Yes. They find a way to win though.
Still, you should beat them. You still should win as if you're the Bruins. So, that's sort of my outlook on that. And then in terms of where I'm looking for, you know, what I'm looking for out of them in the playoffs is, how do you hold up against a team physically? You know, are you getting pushed around? Are you successfully able to execute breakouts? That was a big thing last year where Florida was just sending the house at them. And there were a lot of just, you know, chip and chase, not much going on there, and just Florida regaining possession. And to me, I want to see what they're like with that. A guy like Hampus Lindholm, how does he hold up against physicality? You know, can David Pastrnak stay on his game? Or, the, you know, how are the, can the Bruins be the aggressor? Can they be the team that's annoying to play against? So that's kind of what I'm looking for, because I think when the playoffs come around, that's such a big thing. You're playing a team potentially 7 times in 12 to 13 days, 14 days, and that starts to ramp up. Can you handle that? To me is the big thing. So I wouldn't say my view has changed too much on them over this recent stretch. But I will say this, Connor, if the Bruins do go on to have success in the playoffs, whether that is getting to the conference final, whether that's getting the cup or winning the whole thing, I can guarantee you, and you can clip this, we're going to go back to that bag skate on March 25th and say, there's where it changed. That's how it happened. So that's my little prediction. If they go further, we're going to look back at that bag skate and ripping into them and say, that's what did it. That's where the championship DVD will start. Montgomery just yelling like, what the fuck? You know, like yes. that'll be how the documentary
nice
opens.
Nice PG-13 rated championship DVD. Only one swear.
No, that's it. That's the only swear you need. That's the only swear you need. The behind the B, by the way, from that practice will be great. I hope they show it.
yes, that would be great. It's just all of them just like afterwards being like,
just like bent over like, oh, I can't do it. Anyways, Connor, what can the people look forward to from you over at the Globe and Boston.com?
Yeah, we're going to cover it every step through the rest of the season for however long it goes, whether it's game recaps, features, columns, breakdowns, all that stuff. I'll be in D.C. on Saturday covering that game as well, so looking forward
to
that.
Boots on the ground.
Heading down there for that as well, so you can find all my stuff over at Boston.com and the Globe, and if you want to follow me on Twitter, you can at Connor Ryan _93.
Go do all that. That's Connor Ryan. I'm Evan Marinofsky, presented by Prize Picks. You Bruins Beat listeners, have a great rest of your week. 1980.